Isaiah, in that reading from his prophecy, he says, you will be called by a new name. When we're born, we're given a name. When we get a new name, when we're baptized, when we're confirmed, when we're married, people get new names. In that same prophecy, Isaiah also says, your builder shall marry you. Isaiah expects that God and his people will be married and they'll get a new name at that point. God always intended for he and his creation to be together, to be married. But things get in the way of that marriage, try to prevent it from happening. In a way, sin is the breakup of the marriage that God has wanted from the beginning, when we just go our own way and not follow, not join with God, but join with other things instead. So it's significant then that the first of Jesus' great signs here is at a wedding at Cana. Mary wants Jesus to fix the problem with this marriage, with this wedding. As we see now, though, if we look at this with a larger context, it's not the only wedding here that needs fixing. It's not the only marriage that needs some help. Heaven and earth, God and his people, need to be reunited. Jesus is the embodiment of that union of heaven and earth into one. But still, he has to have this conversation with Mary. He says to her, what is this to me? In a way, to say something like, do you know what this means, Mom, for you and me, if I do this now? If I start now, there's no stopping this until we both end up where my life's going to lead us, and that's to the cross. In a way, this is what happens at a wedding. I mean, imagine a couple saying, do you know what happens? Do you know what will happen if we start this today? It's a different life we're going to live. There's no stopping it. There's no going back on it. It's going to go where it's supposed to go, and we can't undo it. Now, Mary does have an idea of this. She has him do it anyway. Do whatever he tells you, she tells the servers. And so Jesus does, and that's the first of his great signs, and then there's lots more to come. But the problem, of course, is that there's not enough wine. There's not enough of the fruit of the divine life within us. There's not enough goodness in life, and not just earthly goodness, but goodness from heaven. The great divorce between God and us has resulted in there not being enough wine, not being enough goodness, not being enough of God's life in us here on earth. So what we want from our relationship with God is something akin to what we want from a good wine. We want to be uplifted or intoxicated. We want to be in a good place. And wine helps that happen, of course, with us on earth. But it's also what we want from our relationship with God. We want to be in a good place with him. It's what we want from being filled with God's divine life, that we would be uplifted and joyful and in a way intoxicated. So let's go for that permanent change then. Start this. And let's get the name change. God's people get a name change. They're expanded from simply being Israel, which is just one ethnic group, to being the church, which includes people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. There is a name change. And there is an overabundance of wine. I mean, 360 gallons of wine Jesus makes here. Imagine all of that is 360 gallons of God's grace, if there was a way to put it into a tangible, sort of measurable quantity. And all of that flowing into us by virtue of our being married to God, being united with God. All those gifts that Paul mentions in that reading today and in other places in his writings too. Gifts of wisdom and of faith and of healing and of mighty deeds and all that stuff. All as products of that grace being poured into us. That marriage happens at a specific point though. Isaiah calls it, when vindication shines forth like the dawn and victory like a burning torch. When vindication shines forth like the dawn and victory like a burning torch. When it's so obvious, when it's so clear, when it's bright like the dawn, bright like a burning torch, when there's vindication and there's victory, when it's most visible and most obvious that God loves his people, that's the moment of the marriage, according to one of the commentators I was reading for this. And that is most obvious because that's the love of marriage. That's the willingness to die for someone else, for the other person, for the person you love. Because there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friend. That's the most obvious moment when he's lifted up for all to see, when he would willingly die instead of us. That's the love. That's the visibleness, the brightness of the love that God has for us. But we don't get there, except that things start today at Mary's urging, that this wedding goes well. May the marriage that we have, the wedding that we have between heaven and earth, of God and us, with all that great goodness and wine, grace that flows from God into us, it may never stop flowing. May we never put up blocks against it. May we live it and to the full. Live this marriage between us and God to the full.